If you want to be successful, be boring. Stay with what you know. And if I told you that you could only have 25 investments in your life, you would be very careful. You wouldn't be jumping in and out of things all the time. And you would probably be a successful investor. Boring, maybe, but successful.
Is about more than just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on The Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on five key areas of your financial life. Learn more about The Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
Well, thank you for joining us and coming back on the podcast, Jim. I appreciate it.
I am very enthusiastic and delighted.
Well, great. You know, last time we talked, we were talking a little bit about the economy for the U.S. and where we thought it was going. And it seems I just wanted to get your opinion on your thoughts, where the economy is, because my professor in college, Dr. Wade, would always say, you know, there's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics, right? And it holds true. It seems like right now we're using numbers to project the outcome of what we want people to hear. But what are your thoughts on the U.S. economy right now? And where do you think it's heading?
Well, the U.S. has had a wonderful time since 2009. It's the longest period in American history without a serious problem. So, I mean, I can look out the window and see that things are great and that everybody's having a good time. But I also look out the window and see that things are getting overextended. There are many people who think this is going to go on forever now. There are a lot of new people. They call up their friends and say, wow, I've discovered this new thing called the stock market, and it's fun, and you can make money, and it's easy. It's easy to make money. So I've seen this rodeo before, Ed. I don't know how long this will last. It's already the longest in American history. But I can see the beginning signs that we will have problems down the road. Not yet. I'm not selling short yet, but I do see problems starting to rise.
So, and what are some of those problems that you're starting to see? What are the warning signs that you're seeing?
Well, some stocks that go up every day. You know, there are very few skeptics in the markets anymore. Most everybody that I read about now says, happy days are here again. You know, the people right. In Washington say, we've solved the problem. We won't have economic problems again. If you listen to the Treasury Secretary, she says, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. And she's got a couple of Ivy League degrees in it, so maybe she knows what she's talking about. I'm skeptical, but so far, it is the longest in American history. So far, I see early signs, but I'm not selling short yet.
Well, like you said, you know, the Treasury Secretary, she has a lot of initials and degrees after her name for sure. And I think she was part of that group that believed that inflation was temporary, transitory, that famous word. And so Powell's comments a couple of weeks ago, you know, as it relates to the economy, I was not shocked that he kind of flipped a little bit and said, you know, our new target is not 2% anymore. It's, you know, we're okay with that 3-4%. I mean, what's your take on what he said and kind of where you think he might go this summer?
Well, I can only remember one or two Federal Reserve chairmen in American history who've had a clue what they're talking about. Most, as you know, all these guys are bureaucrats.
Yes.
They got government jobs because they can't get real jobs. And so most of them have not been very insightful or successful. We've had a couple, but not many. So I don't pay too much attention. I have to pay attention to know what they're saying, but I don't take it to heart because few of them have understood the real economy or the real world. I've told you my view of the real world. I think I can see that we've had a very long period of no problems, the longest in American history. As I say, maybe it's going to go on forever. Never has.
Well, I would tend to agree with you on that for sure. I think with Powell, he's contradicted himself a couple times, you know, obviously with the transitory inflation and the recession, because he actually made a comment in 2022 during an interview that if the yield curve is inverted, the short term, right, for 18 months or more, that proves that, you know, that's a recession. And he has since said that we're not in a recession. I mean, what we keep hearing, soft landing, no landing, hard landing, with what we're seeing now from inflation, the companies, the layoffs, I mean, where do you think we stand? Do you think we're in a recession, on the verge of recession? What are your thoughts?
Well, whatever he says, I think the opposite. So you pay closer attention to him than I do. But no, I don't see a recession. I mean, I look out the window. I don't see a recession yet. But as I said, I see the early signs that problems are developing. And I would suspect that by the end of this year, if not sooner, or certainly by next year, the recession will be here. When I say here, I mean in the United States. But if it's in the United States, everybody's affected.
Yeah. And I mean, globally right now, you know, inflation is hitting Europe, actually everywhere. I mean, what do you see globally from an economic standpoint? Is the U.S. leading it? Is the U.S. following and reacting to what's going on globally? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, as I look around, nearly every country is doing well. If you look at stock markets around the world, many of them are at all-time highs. I mean, China's not. China got hit by the virus and by a gigantic real estate bubble. But even Japan, even Japan's market, which was down for 35 years, that's not a typo, 35 years. Mm. Even the Japanese market is making new all-time highs. So the whole world is having a very good time. But Ed, I'm old enough to know that when everybody's having a good time, somebody ought to leave the party. Somebody better get home soon. I don't know what will cause it. We have a couple of wars. They haven't ended it yet, but maybe there'll be a worse war. I don't know. What I suspect will happen is that inflation will continue to rise and that will lead eventually to higher interest rates, which will lead to stock market problems and economic problems. I don't see it yet, but I see the signs.
Now, how about as far as a debt bubble? I mean, the U.S. has gone from the largest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation in history. We've got consumer debt at an all-time high, corporate debt, all these things, and I've been calling it a debt bubble. Does that bring concern to you, you know, now and in the future?
Well, Ed, you are exactly right. The U.S. is now the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. Never in world history has a country been so deep in debt as the U.S. at all levels, but especially at the government level. It's unprecedented what's happening. And in Washington, they keep borrowing more. You know, every day they say we should borrow some more money and spend some more money. Of course, it concerns me. I know what has happened throughout the history of the world. When countries get in this kind of situation, it's always led to problems eventually. And as you know, when you're in debt, somebody has to pay the debt, or worse, they default. And I doubt if the U.S. is going to default in 2024, but I can certainly see that happening eventually. You know, in, what is it, 2024? In 1924, the U.K. was the largest, largest, richest economy in the world. There was no number two, 1924. 50 years later, the UK was bankrupt. The IMF had to fly into London, bail them out. They couldn't pay their bills. And this happened in 50 years. The largest and wealthiest country in the world went from top of the dog to bankrupt. It's happened before. I certainly don't see the U.S. going bankrupt this year or in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years. But I know these things have happened in the past. And Ed, as you point out, I mean, we have staggering debt in the U.S. No country in world history has ever been this deeply in debt. Now, in Washington, they say, oh, don't worry. If Washington says, don't worry, I really worry.
That's the warning sign right there. So with all this debt, we saw it with Silicon Valley Bank, you know, the loans that they made, you know, if we're looking at, you know, both on the personal level, consumer and corporate level, do you think that the U.S. banking, there's an issue as it relates because with all this debt and rising interest rates, do you think that that could be a tipping point for the U.S. that could push us in the trajectory at a much faster pace than I think what everyone's anticipating?
Well, Ed, I just want to repeat, throughout history, when this has happened, it has ultimately led to problems. You know, I'm not suggesting that any bank you and I know is going to go bankrupt this month or even this quarter, but it's always happened in the past. And when people get deep, deep, deep into debt, something has always happened in the past. And I suspect that maybe Ed, it's different this time. Maybe this time it's different. And we're all going to be happy and gay and have a wonderful time. Maybe it's different this time.
That's the definition of crazy, right? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. Isn't that?
Maybe it's different. Janet Yellen says it's different.
So it's got to be true. So with central and their economic policies, you know, as, you know, being bureaucrats, political animals, should they just get out of the way and let the free markets work? Do you think that that would help right the ship somewhat or at least delay the inevitable? Or how do you think they should handle it?
Well, my approach is exactly what you said. Get out of the way and let the market take its course. And if the market takes its course with inflation and the debt levels where we have now, something's got to give. And usually that means higher interest rates and debt problems for somebody. I don't know who, but I know the debt is huge in the U.S. Maybe it's different this time, but always in the past, that has led to economic problems for someone.
So how about the CBDCs, central bank digital currencies? You know, there's been talk that we're going to start seeing it, you know, in 5 to 6 years, but there was a report that we're going to start one of the central banks, you know, they're going to release a digital currency here in the next 8 to 12 months. I mean, what do you think of CBDC, how that's going to affect the economy, not just in the U.S., but globally, and the impact that that's going to have?
Well, most governments around the world are working on digital money now. They love it. It's cheaper for them. It's easier to control. They will know everything about you, Ed. They will call you up one day and say, Ed, you've had too much coffee this month. Stop drinking so much. They love it because they will know every single thing you and everybody else does. I, on the other hand, of course, think that's bad. Bad for me, for you, and for the whole world. But they love it. And it's going to happen because it is cheaper and easier for them. And as I say, it gives them complete control of everything we do. Now, eventually, of course, it leads to excesses, always has anyway. And as the debt gets higher and higher, somebody historically always runs into trouble. And as we keep building up cheaper and cheaper and more convenient debt, well, it's always led to problems in the past. Janet Yellen says, don't worry, I worry.
Absolutely. So do you think with the digital currency, do you think that there is a possibility or more of a probability of this social credit scoring, kind of like what we're seeing in China? Do you think that that's going to evolve globally as well? You know, as the governments, like you said, they're going to say, oh, my gosh, too much coffee, Ed. You know, you've been to Starbucks one too many times. And, you know, obviously you're buying too much gas and you're taking too many trips. So we're going to curtail that. Do you foresee that coming down the road as well?
Well, absolutely. That's what the people in government don't think like you and most people think. They want to have control. They want to know everything. so that they control. But I do not think, Ed, that if someday Washington says, okay, this is money now. Yeah. This is the new money on the computer. But I don't think Washington's going to say, but if you want to use that money, you can use that money over there. We don't mind if you use other people's money. That's not the way governments think. They want control. They want regulation. And we're going to see more and more control as we evolve more into digital money, call it what you will.
Do you think that'll evolve into a secondary market or economy, going back to barter and those that do have cash on hand and or gold or silver? I mean, or do you see that evolving at all, just to counteract and have a little bit of freedom for, you know, Americans as well as, you know, the rest of the population globally?
Well, if and when things get really, really, really bad and we start having bankruptcies, yes, of course, that's the way people will evolve. I mean, human beings are smart enough to know they've got to survive, and they will figure out a way to survive. That's not around the corner. Don't worry. You don't have a program for next month about that evolution yet. It's coming, but not that quickly.
Well, that's good. All right. Not that it's coming, but it's at least it's not around the corner yet. So what are your thoughts on Bitcoin? We saw it, you know, go way up, come way down. Now it's up 69%. I think right before we started the podcast, I looked and it's hitting right around, you know, $70,000 a coin. What are your thoughts on Bitcoin, and do you like it? And what do you see it evolving into the future, especially with the digital currency?
Well, I hasten to tell you that I have never bought nor sold short any digital currency. So maybe I don't know what I'm doing. But I do not. I know every government in the world is working on digital money. Everybody wants digital money for many reasons. So it's coming. I do not think, though, that one day the U.S. government's going to wake up and say, okay, Ed, this is the money now. You want to pay your taxes with that money over there? You can use their money to pay your taxes. That's not the way any government thinks. And it's not likely to happen anytime in the future. No, I would love for us all to be able to use whatever we want as money. But governments don't think that way. They want control and they want regulations.
So for Bitcoin, you know, long term in the future, do you think it's just going to evolve and be part of that digital currency mechanism, and it's not going to be separated out just so that the government's going to be able to keep track of it?
Well, first of all, as you well know, many digital currencies have already disappeared and gone to zero,
right,
as you and I know about Bitcoin. But there are many others that we never heard of or that we will not hear of because they've already disappeared. So it is happening. I'm not suggesting Bitcoin is going to disappear this month, this year even, because it seems like a wonderful trading vehicle. And if people want to trade something, what do I care? As long as it doesn't bother me and as long as it's not illegal. And so why not? Why not let people trade Bitcoin or rice or anything they want? If it doesn't hurt other people, and it hasn't hurt anybody yet other than the people who've lost everything, why not? I mean, the world has picked up trading vehicles for many decades. So, and this may be the next one in a long historic decade. But I don't see any practical or widespread use for Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see it.
Yeah, it almost seems like intuitively, it's a conflict with the CBDC, you know, all these central bank digital currencies. And last time we talked, you're a fan of gold, as am I. You know, how do you see your thoughts on gold, especially with digital currencies? What do you think the future is going to be with gold? And you know, do you still like it with where you see the evolution of the digital currency?
Here's a little gold right here, just in case you wonder. And I have a little silver here, too. I own gold. I own silver. I'm not buying either right now. If I were buying one, I would buy silver because it's down 50 or 60% from its all-time high. Gold mm-hmm. is near its all-time high. I'm not buying either at the moment. I do know that for thousands of years, when their problems have come up, I'm an old peasant, and all of us old peasants know when there are problems. We want some gold under the bed. We want some silver in the closet. So it's always happened that way. Maybe this time we're all going to want Bitcoin in the closet or cryptocurrencies under the bed. I'm skeptical that the world has changed that much after a few thousand years. So I own gold and I own silver, but I own them in case of a disaster.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of commodities, harder assets, like gold, silver, real estate, other commodities as well. And I know last time we talked, are you still a fan of commodities, you know, from an investment standpoint?
Well, I mean, commodities have been around for a long, long time, Ed, and commodities are the largest or one of the largest markets in the world. Not each commodity, but as a class, there's always been a market and a need for commodities. We all need some rice. We all need some cotton. We all need some natural gas. We need some oil. And in my view, we always will. So there will be markets. But at times, commodities have big bear markets. At times, commodities have huge bull markets. So one has to judge, just like you have to figure out when to buy Microsoft or whether to buy Microsoft. You also have to figure out whether to buy crude oil or when to buy crude oil.
Or coffee, right?
Or coffee. The world's not going to stop using crude oil or coffee this week. Don't worry.
Well, all right. So how about bonds? What are your thoughts on bonds, especially in an interest rate sensitive environment?
Well, I don't own bonds and I'm not short bonds, either one right now. I would suspect that if the economy continues to evolve and if inflation comes back, bonds will be a very good short at some point. But at the moment, I have absolutely no position, long or short, in bonds.
And I know you touched on this just a little while ago with regards to the markets. You've got certain stocks that continue to go up daily and significantly. Your concerns between now and the election, do you think, you know, politically there's any propping up of the markets? Is that a concern for you between now and the election or after the election? Or are you just looking at it from a big picture standpoint?
We will have an election in the U.S. in November. If we don't, we have really, really serious problems.
So there's bigger issues.
I certainly hope we have an election in the U.S. this November. I don't know which of these two guys will win. I do know that historically, whoever's in the lead this early usually does not win, historically. But who knows what will happen. You know who's running as well as I do. Mr. Trump seems to be in the lead. And unless he does something foolish or something strange happens, the polls say he's going to win. But as I say, historically, the people in the lead at this early usually do not win. I'm not suggesting Mr. Biden will win. I'm just telling you what has always happened in the past. I will vote. I've always voted. But Ed, I will tell you one of the things I'm very proud of. I have never voted for a winner. And if you look back over the people who won elections in the last 60 or 70 years, you might say, oh, he knows what he's doing. He never voted for those guys.
All right. So if you were 20, 25 years younger, what would you be doing now from an investment standpoint? Would you be doing anything different than what you're currently doing now?
No, I don't think so. Experience is the best way to protect yourself is to make money. And as long as you're making money, even if the world comes to an end, you will probably come through and survive, and your family will too. I never changed my view just because I'm optimistic or pessimistic. I try to base it on the world and on the markets. I don't know anything that would, I mean, if nuclear war breaks out tomorrow, of course I'll change my views.
Right.
But I don't see any reason to change at the moment. I expect that the markets are okay now. I expect that to continue for a while. The only market that's down is the Chinese market. I own some Chinese shares. I would love to buy some more if I could find something good, But other than the Chinese market, well, Uzbekistan, Uzbekistan is down, and I have bought some Uzbek shares recently. But most markets, Ed, around the world are doing very well. I mean, even Japan. Japan, after 35 years, the Japanese market is even going up.
It's not hard to make money in the market these days. That is for sure. The hard part is when things turn around, right? Keeping what you made. All right. So with your daughter, your kids, what would you tell them to do? If you were young, starting out, how would you tell them to invest? And where would you tell them to put their money?
Well, I would tell them the same that I would tell anybody. If you want to be successful investing, stay with what you know. Do not listen to the TV or the newspaper. Stay with what you know. Everybody watching this knows a lot about something. So start there and stay there. And some people will say, but that's boring. And if you want to be successful, be boring. Stay with what you know, okay? And don't listen to the hot tips down at the bar on the weekend. Stay away from hot tips. And if I told you that you could only have 25 investments in your life, you would be very careful. You wouldn't be jumping in and out of things all the time. And you would probably be a successful investor. Boring, maybe, but successful.
Well, you know, that's what the old saying is, right? You would rather have boring investments and an exciting retirement than the other way around, right? So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Any parting thoughts before we go?
Well, I will just sort of repeat that sometime in the next few months or year or two, we're going to have some difficult times in world financial markets. So everybody should be worried. And everybody, if they're worried, will start becoming prepared. And if you're prepared, you'll be fine. You won't have to worry. Just worry now. Worry now while there's time. Yes. Worry now before there's a big rush.
Awesome. Jim, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You have a good evening and enjoy your night out at the clubs.
Thank you very, very much. You come and we'll all go to the disco together.
That sounds good. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You tested your fitness level, not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance, because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with The Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into 5 simple steps. It's the retirement fitness plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the retirement fitness plan at egsifinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to the Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio License Number 102-06-19.